things down a little bit. Page 95.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have my very own ink pen now, and it's blue, and it's got hair. And I don't know who gave me that, but thank you very much, with a little note. So y'all leave my ink pen alone. Well, I'm going to put him right here, so thank you. All right. Threw me a curveball there. All right. It's good to be here this morning, and the weather should be a-changing. We got quite a bit of rain the last couple of days, and it's not been a downpour. It's been a nice rain. Cooled weather off just a little bit. I think it stayed right around 62 or 3 all day yesterday at the house. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a little bit of that cooler weather. I was thinking, and I think I even said to somebody, that we might have a pretty fall colors, because the leaves are nice and green right now. If we get a good frost, it might be better, one of the better falls that we've seen in a while. Looking forward to that. Nobody can paint the landscape like God can.
Amen.
So fall's on the way, and so I'm glad that it's here. It's fixing to get busy, so y'all get all your stuff ordered up. This board here is fixing to get full here pretty soon. So today, though, the announcements, we just have a few. This morning is our youth fund offering, so the second time the plate is passed, it is for the youth fund. Next Sunday evening, the 30th, will be singing and fellowship. So remember that at that night. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Next week, Cindy and Jerry. Now, don't have on here choir practice. Are we practicing choir?
No, not this afternoon.
Okay. Evidently, y'all had too much fun last week.
We're having fun.
Yep. You are, he is.
We finished it in with entertainment for him.
Yep. Well, you know, if you hadn't been coming to choir practice, or if you're not partaking in the choir, you've been missing a blessing, because they've even talked about charging admittance. And they're having way too much fun up here. So it is good. We encourage you to join the choir, be a part of it.
Page 264. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out in the house of the Lord this morning. It's rainy, it's nasty, but it's cooling down, but there's no better place to be than right here.
Amen.
Hey, I am ecstatic today. 3 weeks and they haven't run me off yet. So we're going to sing one for you this morning. You've heard it before, but we're going to sing it a little louder and a little better, okay? It's entitled Heavenly Love.
Heavenly love, you've only come to help me. I was astray, so sad in the world. Heavenly love, you've only come to help me.
got to read you this note that was attached to this pen. I just fully read it. It says, Brother Sam, now you have your very own ink pen, and I doubt anyone will take it since it's the spitting image of you. They will surely know better. So I need, I need a little ink pen holder right here so that I can watch y'all from two sets of eyes the whole time. Thank you for whoever brought that. I appreciate it. Although the haircut needs to be a little bit shorter. It's good to be here this morning. And I hope y'all are as happy to be here as I am. This morning we are not going to talk about Leonard. That was a pretty hard series to preach. Nothing we said though came anywhere but from God's word. And so it was profitable for all of us, myself included. So we finished that up. Now we're going to move on. Okay? I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the object of my affection. And I want you to just think about that and ask yourself the question as we move down through this sermon. What is the object of my affection? And that's a pretty hard question sometimes when we ask ourselves that, honestly, because, well, you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a minute. Now, you will see why it applies to the aforementioned series that we just talked about a little bit, but if you remember, I told you I wasn't going to rehash it, but I just want to go back just a little bit. Part of the problem in our personal relationships is that we focus on self too much instead of others, okay? It's love is a giving, okay? So just think about that as we go down through here now. Who or what do you love most of all? If we answered that question truthfully, what would we say? Ask yourself the question. Be honest when you ask yourself the question. Some people would say, truthfully, I love money. Okay? Think about that. I knew a man one time who had plenty of money. He had made it all himself. He was wealthy. He'd made the comment probably, 15, 20 years before he passed, and he'd continue to make money, that he was worth $5 million at the time. So he couldn't let go of the sight of making more money, though, okay? He was focused on it. So there you go. Now, I still actually know a guy like that, a different one. So I know there's people out there that are like that. I myself probably have to say that at one time I was more focused on making money than anything else. If we're honest with ourselves, we go through these phases, all right? The first guy couldn't wait to get his next dollar. That's all he thought about. He quit going to church, but he never quit making money till the day he died. But he neglected his spiritual welfare. The second fellow that I was talking about, he's still alive. So that extra dollar is not going to profit him a whole lot. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money. I don't want you to think there is. The Bible says very plainly, this is one of the most misquoted scriptures, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of it. Now, also, you might say, some of you might say that I love good health, that I'm focused on working out and keeping my body in good shape, the best possible. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with being in good health. And I think that we can all agree that it's good to be healthy, right? But sometimes people get so engrossed in the way they eat and workout regimen and stuff like that, that they forget that the spiritual health is worth more than the physical health. In 1 Timothy, we're told that. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That, you can find that in 1 Timothy 4 and 8. All he's saying there really is that don't neglect your spiritual exercise, health, okay? Some folks, we might be sitting out there, and we might say, I love food. It's one of my weaknesses, one of my many weaknesses. I do like to eat. Partly in jest and partly just because we've done it forever, I can't seem to get through one meal before I'm asking Cindy, what are we having for supper? And we'll laugh about it, but in all honesty, I really do want to know what we're going to have for supper, you know? We all know we can get along with a few less carbs than we eat, right? All right? Maybe that's not your problem. What about clothes? Now, you can see, if you see me on a regular basis, clothes are not my deal. I'm more comfortable in overalls than I am in a tie or suit, okay? Clothes don't make the person, okay? But some people fixate on their wardrobe, all right? I know a person that has clothes and clothes, and many of them still have the tags on, okay? Dental office. I think that we can look around at our government today and see that there's many in our government officials that are more focused on staying there than they are actually doing anything when they get there. They like the power and prestige that is associated with office, and they're willing to do just about anything that it takes to stay there or to move up into another higher office, okay? But if we're honest with ourselves, all these things really boil down to this. I love myself most of all. And you think about that for just a second. That every thought is about ourselves. What I want, what I need, no matter what it does to anyone else. We've all seen that, haven't we? Maybe we've all been guilty of it just a little bit. In our scripture this morning, Jesus is asking Peter the same question about love. Now, Peter denied Christ three times. If you want to turn to John chapter 21, we're going to read. Peter denied Christ three times, and now the Lord three times asked Peter the same question. Now, if you, just to kind of set this up, when we get down to our scripture, Christ has already been crucified, buried, resurrected, and he appeared back to Peter. Okay, so they in verse 15, John 21, 15. Excuse me. Are you there? So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. At 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute as we go down through here. Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? And in this scripture, he's saying that you're young now and able to care for yourself. Someday you won't be able to. So who are you going to rely upon? Who do you love? Lovest thou me? Jesus is asking us the same question today. Who do we love? So as you're sitting out there in the congregation, or maybe you're listening to this on the internet, the question to you then is, who do you love? Who do you love? Do you love yourself or do you love Jesus? Now, Jesus is not trying to prepare Peter for death in this scripture. He had already taken care of that when Peter was saved. Jesus, in this scripture, is trying to prepare Peter for life. Okay? It's a sad thing that many church people are prepared for death, but they're not prepared to live. They know they're going to heaven when they die, but they're not prepared to live for Christ. We are prepared for death when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Amen? That prepares you for a death, and it's sealed for eternity. But now, y'all have heard me say this many times. I always say Lord and Savior whenever I say it. Do you remember that? We're prepared to live in this life when we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives. It's more than just a salvation experience. We major in seeing people saved, right? I mean, isn't that why we're here? That's why we have Wednesday night, and that's why we have the kids, and that's why we do the things that we do, to teach them about Christ and let the Spirit work in their lives, our lives, so that we can be saved from the penalty of sin. But we oftentimes forget to emphasize the Lordness of Jesus. Peter got the message. Do we? When you read about Peter, you will see that after this, he didn't deny Christ ever again. No more profanity. Remember, he cursed at one of his three denials. Peter never wavered. Peter served Christ from then to the end of his life here on this earth. The Lord Jesus had all of his life, time, and talent. Satan's really good at lulling us into contentment. This is one of the favorite tools that he uses. Everyone wants to be comfortable in life. Is that not true? Content. Advertising a milk company used this phrase in their advertisement: our milk comes from contented cows. Y'all remember that? I guess what they're trying to say is that the milk that comes from a content cow tastes better than one that's stressed out. They're playing on our emotions because everyone wants to be content. Satan is clever. He sells us the thought that we can be content and relaxed with earthly things, even such a simple thing as cow's milk. Satan deceived Solomon in just that way. Y'all remember Solomon, king? He was the richest man ever. That's what the Bible tells us. He was the wisest man ever. He had plenty of money. He didn't want for anything. Lived in a grand palace. And he had 1,000 wives. Poor fella. He was seeking contentment in ways other than serving God. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What he is saying is, I've had everything and nothing on earth satisfies. I have no idea what that is. Anyway, a man once said, a man who has everything but God has nothing. But a man who has nothing but God has everything. Why? Why should Jesus be the object of our affection? That's a question we need to ask ourselves if we're going to put him in that place, in that position of being number one in our lives, is why should he be there? Now, first, I think that we should put Jesus as the center of our object of affection list because of Calvary. I mean, you think about that for a minute. What Jesus did there on Calvary actually saved us from the penalty of sin, changed our eternal destiny when we accept him. Now, when Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Peter could see the nail scars in his hands. Go back and read it. He could see the wound in his side and all the scars from the beating they had given him on the cross. He knew what Jesus had just went through not too long before. Jesus had went through, but do we really see the depth of the pain of Jesus? You know, this really got me to thinking, because we get the picture in the mind of the beaten and ragged Jesus and dragging that cross and flesh torn off from the whipping, the crown of thorns. Then they laid him on that cross and they drove those spikes in his hands and his feet. I can vividly see that picture in my brain. In my mind's eye, I can see that when they lifted him up and dropped that cross on down in that old hole and, you know, that sudden jar. And I can see that in my mind. What a painful thing that he went through for me. But do we really know the pain, even with that vivid image in our mind? Think about this for a second. Think about a man that dies and goes to hell. I can't ever think of that without thinking about Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man. And for anybody out there that's listening to this, let me tell you something. There's no holding pattern. When you die, you're going to go where you've chosen to go, either heaven or hell. Go read Luke 16. But think about that. Someone that dies rejecting Christ is going straight to hell. He's going to open his eyes in torment, agony that never, ever goes away. The rich man just wanted one drop of water to soothe his tongue. Do you think that Jesus feels that pain for everyone? Think about what Jesus did on the cross. He suffered the penalty of your sin, being guiltless. Multiply that by everyone that's ever been born. And think about Jesus hanging on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for your sake. He bore your sin. He suffered the pain of what we deserve so that we don't have to. He took the punishment because we couldn't do it. While hanging on that old cross, Jesus received that punishment that Sam Ault deserves. Sammy, but I want what's coming to me. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm glad I'm not getting what I got coming. Jesus did that for me. Multiply that agony of the rich man by everyone that's ever been born, and you might just get a little picture of what Jesus suffered for you. Add in the simple fact that when he became sin, God, his Father, who he had never been separated from, turned his back on him. And he had to bear that pain all by himself. Jesus took that punishment on himself. I'm so thankful I'm not getting what I deserve. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm getting is eternal salvation. What I'm getting is a new home in heaven. What I'm getting is something that I don't deserve, I'm a joint heir with Christ, highly favored, child of the King. That's what I am because of what Jesus done for me. Also, when we think about why we should love Jesus, we ought to love Him because of our daily blessings. I mean, do we take time during the day to thank Jesus for what we have? Not only does Jesus save us from our sin, but He also blesses us daily. I submit to you that if you don't do that, you should take a portion of your time every day, sit down and think. And if you can't do it, write it down so you can see it. What has Jesus done for me today? Amen. Well, the list is long. We're coming up on Thanksgiving before too long. We talk about it at Thanksgiving, what I'm thankful for. Everything that I'm thankful for came because of God's grace on me, not because of anything I've done. In Jeremiah 42, the prophet tells us that God will show mercies unto us. And He does. The mercies are new every day. Remember all that Jesus has done for you. You know, this life is short, and then eternity. And Jesus made the way, no matter what happens to us in this life. If you don't love Jesus for all that He does for you daily, you might need to change the way that you look at yourself and in life. Then, we ought to love Him because of heaven. Because Calvary, we're not getting what we deserve, as we've said. We're getting heaven. Amen? It's better than anything we can imagine. And that covers the past. Okay? Our daily blessings cover the present. Heaven takes care of the future. What future does a lost person have? It's pretty bleak. Death, everlasting punishment, separation from God. A born-again believer can look forward to a release of the trials and tribulations of this world. Anything that's happening in your life that's bad right now, when you die, if you know Jesus, it's all gone. No more pain, no more injury, no more illness. A home where God dwells. A young lad once made this statement: I always knew Jesus was necessary, but I didn't know until yesterday that He was enough. Jesus is enough for all of us. Is it too much for Him to ask us to live for Him? Not focus on self, not what I can get out of this life, but live for Christ. We prove our love for Christ by living for Him. A cold, indifferent Christian can never, ever convince the world that he loves Christ. You think about that for a minute. If you're cold and indifferent and always looking downtrodden, you're not going to convince anyone that you come in contact with that you love Christ. He is a hindrance to the cause of Christ. But a cheerful, happy Christian is one who men see Jesus through. I think of my friend, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, Larry Robertson. We had this conversation back several years ago. He told me, he said, I meet this person every day, and I know, he said, because their attitude and the way they act. He could see Jesus in that person. Did the world see Jesus in us? I wish you and I can look more like our Heavenly Father. I wish we had about us the grace and sweetness that Christ has. I hope that people can point to us here at Oak Hill and say, Jesus lives there. I hope that people, when they see me, can say that he really does love Jesus. If you're a Christian and you don't live for Christ, this is kind of hard, but listen to me. If you're a Christian, a born-again believer, and you do not live for Christ, you may be sending someone to hell. Because oftentimes we're the only Bible they will ever read. We prove our love by our works. Some people talk a good case of religion, can quote scriptures and talk about it all the day, and look, I've done this, and I know this, and I know that. You can be fundamentally sound scripturally. Might even tell you things that they've done for Christ, yet we see no fruits of their labor. They never do anything really for Christ. The truth of the matter is, if we truly love Jesus, we will serve him. John 14 says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We ought to serve Jesus in a better way. Be faithful in everything that we do. There are 1,000 reasons why you should be a Christian. There are 1,000 reasons why every Christian should live for Christ daily. But there is only one thing which will cause you to live for him, and that is your true love for him. We can sit down and list many reasons why we should, but what really causes us to live for Christ is our love for him. So as Jesus said to Peter, I say unto you this morning, lovest thou me? That's what Jesus is asking. How do you answer Christ? How do you answer him? I preached in it, I talked about my pursuit of my sweet bride, Cindy. And I think about it from the very first time I ever met her. And for some reason, I kept showing up everywhere she was at. It's coincidence, right? But if we pursued Christ like we pursued our spouse, get the picture. What's important to us? Everything that I did to be around her. And see, that's what we should do in our Christian walk. Everything that we do, we should do to be more like Christ. Guys, do y'all remember those days when you chased your sweet wife around? Fellas, ladies, do you remember the attention you received back then and gave? Shouldn't we pursue Christ the same way, same dedication? Listen, he wants to be number one in our lives. Lovest thou him? Lovest thou him? See, we see people every day nowadays in our culture that we live in that says one thing and does something else. Are we going to be one of those people? Are we going to walk the walk and be dedicated to Christ? I've heard people say, well, you know, if I'd done that, I'd have to give up so many things that I enjoy. Well, let me tell you something. When you serve Christ, there's so many blessings that he will give to you that the few things that you were worried about losing mean absolutely nothing. Can we dedicate our life to Christ? Can we focus on him? Because I've told you many times, you cannot give God. Try him. Serve him. And watch him bless you. Focus on Jesus and see all the good things that come your way. We serve a mighty God. We serve a loving God. And I want you to know something, child of the King. He wants what's best for you. And He'll bless you with it when you serve Him. Let's dedicate our life to serving Christ. He wants to show the love that He did. People see Jesus through you, or they don't see Jesus in you. What are we going to do? I submit to you this morning that if we all would focus 100% on Christ, that our lives would be so much better. And we would just beam the radiance of the love that He puts back on us, that everybody we come in contact with would say there's something different about Him. I want what He's got. And let me tell you, you can share it with them and not lose one ounce of it, because the grace of God is sufficient for everyone. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Bow with me, please. Father, as we come to You this morning, we're thankful, Lord, for Jesus. I thank You for what He did for me on the cross. But I thank You also, Lord, for what You've done for me since my salvation experience, the blessings in life that You've given me, my wonderful family, Lord, my wonderful church family, all these sweet people that are here, the many people that I come in contact with, and Lord, those that You've placed in my life when I needed someone to lift me up, that Christian brother or sister that just came and prayed and spoke with me, that lifted me out of the rut, that showed me that You truly, truly, truly are working in my life. I pray, Lord, for each and every one that's here this morning, that we could focus on Jesus, that we could just hone in with pinpoint accuracy on being the very best Christian we can be. Lord, I pray for those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that are cold and indifferent, haphazardly serving. Lord, I pray that the conviction of the Spirit would draw them in, draw them closer, that they might see the need of serving in spirit and truth. Lord, help us realize who all is watching us. I think about my kids and my grandbabies, Lord. I pray that You soften their hearts, that when the Spirit calls for salvation, they'd be acceptable to that calling, just to have an influence in their decision to accept Jesus, as should be all of our prayer this morning. We thank You for what Jesus did on the cross. In His name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Page 190.
That's the only way He would call us, softly and tenderly. You know, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. He's calling. The Spirit is calling. Jesus is standing with open arms. All you have to do is just take the first step and come on down. And let me introduce you to my Savior. Listen to me. maybe there's something in your life you need to get rid of so that you can serve. He's not going to grab you by the hair of the head and drag you down the aisle. That's not the God I serve. He gave us choice. When he tenderly calling you, you have to answer the call. Step on out. Give it to him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, for my burden is light. He's got broad shoulders. All we have to do is give it to him. He's ready, willing, and able to take it. Whatever it is, give it to Jesus. Listen, you know, the past is the past. Maybe we've all made mistakes. We're all sinners. There's only two kinds of people in this world. There's lost sinners, saved sinners. We're all sinners. Jesus died for all of us. I'm happy to say that I'm a saved sinner, but I'm still a sinner. Maybe there's something in your life that in your past that you need to get rid of. You know, all you have to do is give it to Jesus. He's faithful and just to forgive you. You can start fresh, start new today. You don't have to carry the burden. You don't have to drag that old lead weight around with you. You can give it to Jesus. But he won't take it from you unless you give it to him. And when you give it to him, you can't carry it back with you after that. Don't be an Indian giver. Give it to him and leave it with him. And start new. Start fresh. And be focused on serving a true and risen Savior. Softly and tender, he's calling. Won't you answer the call as we sing?
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling to bring him thy burden, and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn you away. Calling today.
Thank you for coming our way this morning. It's kind of a dreary day outside, but it's dry and warm and cozy in here.